Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. Hope that your day is going well. And as we're recording the broadcast today, we're also on Facebook Live. This is not a live broadcast that you're listening to. So if you're joining us on Facebook Live today, I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. And sorry about the technical difficulties that we had, but we're doing a series now in the book of Acts, and I've really enjoyed it. It's called The Acts of Joy. And Timothy Keller said this, "Apathy to the Christian is a greater danger than atheism." Now think about that for just a moment. We so worry about people who don't believe in God. That's not our biggest worry. I think our biggest worry ought to be in our own lives being apathetic toward the things of Christ. And as you think that this whole subject of being apathetic, we can have joy in the midst of suffering, and suffering is going to come our way, but if we get apathetic because of suffering, it is really revealing the fact that there's no faith within us. Acts chapter 5 is what we're going to be looking at today. In Acts chapter 5, we see the joy of sharing our faith. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about. I love to share the gospel wherever I go. And even in the midst of suffering, it provides opportunities for us to share the gospel. So in Acts chapter 25, verses 1 through 2, we kind of hear some interesting things about how to share the gospel. And Paul is sharing the gospel, and it's 3 days after arriving into the province. Festus, the guy who took over Felix, goes up to Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priests and the Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented the charges against Paul. Now, for most people, this is a setback, right? For most people, this is a difficult thing to face because you're on trial. And so Paul doesn't worry about being on trial. His thought is, who is open to hear the gospel? Who can I share the gospel with at this particular moment? You know, the Bible tells us there's a time to rend, there's a time to sow, there's a time to keep silent, and there's a time to speak. I believe that if you have the opportunity to speak on behalf of Christ, you ought to take advantage of that opportunity. Speak the good words of Christ, even if it's in a difficult time. Paul was not in a good situation here. He is on trial for preaching the gospel. This thing can go really good for him, or it can go really bad for him. The choice is ours. So I want to encourage you today, share it with the right people at the right time. I think you ought to wake up every morning and say, okay, Lord, here's my threefold prayer today. Number one, Lord, would you send somebody in my life today that needs to hear the gospel? Somebody that perhaps has never heard the good news of Jesus Christ, would you send that person into my life today? Phase number two of this prayer is, Lord, when this person comes into my life, would you give me enough sense and enough discernment to see this person so that I can be open to the fact that you are moving in the heart of this person? And then phase three of the prayer would be, Lord, would you give me the boldness to open up my mouth and speak on your behalf? Help me not to say too much, but help me to say just enough. Help me not to be silent when I should be speaking. In Acts chapter 25, we see Paul is on trial, and he's before the priest, he's before Festus. And as he's going there, God is putting him in favor with some of the people that he's about to communicate with. Now, this is an amazing thing. God will always put you in favor with the right people. After spending 8 or 10 days there, Festus goes down to Caesarea, and he wants to meet Paul. He wants to hear what Paul has to say. So Paul comes in, the Jews are coming down from Jerusalem, they're standing around him, and there's these serious charges against him. But these serious charges could not be proven. I had a friend one time who told me one time that I was so concerned about, you know, getting into car accidents, right? And he says, it doesn't really matter if you get into a car accident, just as long as you're not at fault. And I went through a time in my life where it seemed like I had 3 or 4 accidents kind of close to each other. And thankfully, none of them were my fault. But I said, man, my insurance company is going to think something's up. But all 3 accidents, it was very cut and dry. And so I was vindicated by realizing, okay, I'm not at fault. Well, this is where Paul is. He's got some serious charges coming against him, but they can't prove them. So Paul makes his defense, and he says, I've done nothing wrong against the Jewish law or against the temple or against Caesar. Well, Festus, wanting to win favor of the Jews, we see there's an underlying motivation, says to Paul, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand before me there on these charges? Paul answered, I am now standing before Caesar's court where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. And then he says this, if, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. Well, after Festus had conferred with the council, they declared, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." Now, I want to set this in context, right? There's some legal maneuvers that Paul is doing, but he's not doing it primarily to create his defense. Now, this may shock you as you look at the context of what Paul is doing. Paul is making this maneuver so that he can share the gospel with more people. Paul figures, if I'm on trial, I've got this captive audience that is going to hear the gospel. So ask yourself, who is open to the gospel? In John chapter 16, Jesus says to the disciples, "You know, I have many things that I want to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." What an encouragement this passage is. Jesus is telling his disciples, you know, there's so many things that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now because you don't have the Spirit of God living within you. Now, we have the advantage of the Spirit of God living within us. And so Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, isn't this amazing? We have an advantage that the early followers of Christ, the disciples of Christ, did not have when Jesus was on the earth. They had the physical Jesus right there, but we have the Spirit of God living within us. And Jesus himself declares, when that Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide us into all truth. In other words, he's going to guide our steps of our lives. He is going to be the ultimate judge in our lives. In God's courtroom, the Spirit is the paraclete. That is the Spirit of God living within us. And this is a powerful thing that we have. And I want to share this, especially during this time of people worried about this coronavirus. God can comfort us. God can give us counsel. He is our advocate. He is our defense attorney. He is the one that we have to lean on during these difficult times. I find it amazing that so many of us are so worried about, well, what should be our response? What does the government say we should do? What does the government say we shouldn't do? I think we ought to be concerned about that, but our primary concern should be, where is Jesus in the midst of this storm? He is the one that is going to guide us. He's our counselor. He's our advocate. Let us take advantage of this time to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, here's the second point that I want to share with you today. Don't be intimidated by pomp and ceremony. You see, everybody needs the gospel. Sometimes we get intimidated, right, because we're going through a time where we're meeting with important people. Well, don't let that get the best of you. Paul discovers that as he's there going with Festus and then Agrippa, and he says, man, I want to hear the man myself tomorrow, and you will hear him. He's gone to Caesar. I mean, he's before some really important people. But Paul doesn't seem to be enamored by that. He's undaunted. See, God is going to use him in a special platform, so he's not fearful. But the Lord said to Ananias, go to the man that I have chosen as an instrument to proclaim to the Gentiles and to their kings and to the people of Israel. Now, that's Acts 9:15. The reason I throw that in there is because I think Paul had this in the back of his mind. Paul had this promise that was given to him through Ananias that God was going to use the Apostle Paul as an instrument to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles, to their kings, and to the people of Israel. Paul knew that his day was going to come in court. He knew that he's going to have the opportunity to share the gospel. He knew this was going to happen. Listen, why don't you pray that God will expand your ability to share the gospel? Expand your area of influence. Say, Lord, would you use me to influence more people? Now, we talk a lot about managing our time and managing our resources and managing our money, and all these things are really good. Have you ever thought about managing your influence? Say, Lord, would you give me an influence over people that can be change agents? Maybe give me the opportunity to share the gospel with my boss. Can you imagine what would happen if your boss prayed to receive Christ? How many people he could affect, or how many people she could affect once she became a follower of Christ? Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, as we're sharing the gospel, we don't be intimidated by those we're sharing the gospel with, but we also want to present our case fearlessly and respectfully. Well, we're down to Acts chapter 25, verses 24 through 27. You see, we all battle fear. We all battle this matter of having inferior feelings. In verse 24, we read, and Festus says, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. Now here we see that Festus is definitely exaggerating his case before King Agrippa. He, in essence, is saying that everybody, Jews and Gentiles alike, he's got this whole world stirred up. He says, but I found that he had done nothing deserving death. And as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to go ahead and send him. But I have nothing definite to write to you, my lord, about him. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after we have examined him, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable in sending a prisoner not to indicate the charges that are against him. Now, this is amazing when you think about the context of this. Here, Paul has an audience with King Agrippa without a valid charge. That's right, not a valid charge. Yeah, a lot of people have been stirred up, but there's no concrete charge against him. What is driving this? I think when you look at what is driving this and what drives people that reject the gospel, and I want to say this respectfully, but you know, all bitterness starts out as hurt. When people are bitter toward the gospel, it's because they're not receiving the healing for the hurt that they're experiencing. You know, you think about emotional pain. Emotional pain is provoked by hurt, and you assume that that perpetrator is the one that should be paying for that hurt, and you're assuming that the person that hurts you has a malicious intent. Now, they may or may not have had a malicious intent, but when you think about responding to that, we ought to respond in a way not of bitterness, because that actually incites that hurt. It doesn't bring about healing. When you think about the issue of hurt, we lose the opportunity to be grateful. It causes grief. You know, think about anger. Anger's first cousin is resentment. And when we resent something, we are closed off to the hearing of that individual. Maybe another Christian has hurt you, and as a result of that other Christian hurting you, you have written off all Christians. Oh, my dear friend, don't let one bad apple spoil it for you. Realize that God can use the hurt in your life to draw you to him. You can use that to turn it into bitterness, but God wants to turn it just the opposite way. You know, Martin Luther was once so depressed over a prolonged period in his life that his wife came downstairs one day in black. Martin Luther said, well, who died? She says, well, God has died. Martin Luther says, no, he hasn't. God isn't dead. And she said, well, live like it then and act like it. You know, you think about that. If God is alive, and he is, we ought to be rejoicing over that matter. You know, the Living Bible in Job 5:2 says, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be foolish and a senseless thing to do. So when falsely accused, don't become filled with resentment. Instead, be filled with the word hope. And we're going to spell out the word hope here in just a moment. But as I look at what Paul is going through, it amazes me how well he responds. I wish I could respond so graciously when somebody comes against me with false accusations or unfounded accusations. I want you to know that if you're going to attempt something great for God, you're going to have people that are going to bring false charges against you. Be ready for it. Expect it. So that when it happens, it doesn't throw you off track. Paul responded in hope. And this is how we should respond as people come with false accusations against us. First of all, I see that he was extremely humble. He was humble in his response. You know, pride keeps us from knowing God fully. When the Bible talks about humility, it talks about lowering ourselves. Pride is this self-exaltation. When you think about exaltation and prideness, pride mocks. It doesn't show favor in our lives. Proverbs 27:2 says, let somebody else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. When a person is humble, they're thinking less of themselves. When you think about a humble person, this is a person that has just accepted themselves where they are. They realize where they are. 1 Peter 5:5 and 6, and says, in the same way, you who are younger should submit yourself to the elders. All of you should clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Then verse number 6 is a verse that you probably have memorized. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. You see, a humble person realizes that God is going to take care of this situation, and in his time and in his way, he is going to lift me up. Thomas Merrington said, humility makes us real. You think about a humble person and how blessed it is to hang around a person of humility. Philip Yancey said this about humility. Humility does not mean I grovel before God, like the Asian court officials who used to wriggle around like ground worms in the presence of the emperor. It means rather that in the presence of God, I gain a glimpse of my true state in the universe, which exposes my smallness. At the same time, it reveals God's greatness. Don't you love that? Henry Cloud and John Townsend said this about humility. One way to bear necessary pain is to be humble. If we are humble, we will be willing to allow something uncomfortable to happen to us if it is the right thing to do. This is because part of being humble means not perceiving ourselves to have rights or privileges which we do not possess. Humiliation is self-rejection. Humility is when you tell the truth about yourself. Humiliation is when somebody else does it for you. David White says this, there is a lovely root to the word humiliation, from the Latin word humus, meaning soil or ground. When we are humiliated, we are in effect returning to the ground of our being. So we see that Paul was humble in his response, but we also see that Paul, letter O for hope, was open. He was open to hear what God was saying through those accusers. He kind of reminds me of how Joseph responded to the accusers of his brothers when they came against them. He understood that there was harm being intended in this accusation, but he also understood that God intended to accomplish something great even through those false accusations. How do we know this is true? Because Psalm 76:10 says, the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. In other words, even when we are falsely accused, God can turn that into praise. And when it gets to the point where that wrath has gone too far, God is able to restrain it. You see, I think what Paul is really tapping into here is the sovereignty of God, that God is in control of the situation. And so he humbly follows through in obedience with what God is doing. He is open to hear what God is doing and listening to what God is doing throughout this whole entire ordeal, which leads to letter P, and that is hope is found in God preparing us. God is preparing for us to be blessed in the midst of what is happening. Being thankful. Paul is thankful for given the opportunity to speak before King Agrippa. It is a powerful testimony. As a matter of fact, if we had time, we'd explore it a little bit deeper as to how Agrippa responds. But Agrippa listens to Paul, and he says, you know what? Almost you have persuaded me. As a matter of fact, he doesn't actually make a judgment call in this case because Agrippa concludes there's really not enough evidence against Paul. But he says of Paul, you've almost persuaded me. And then he says to Paul, I'd like to hear you more on this matter. I mean, maybe you're familiar with some of the old hymns of the faith. Almost Persuaded. I'm not sure who wrote the hymn Almost Persuaded, but it comes from this encounter that Paul has with King Agrippa when he says, almost, Paul, you persuaded me to become a Christian. Almost, but not. And he wanted to hear Paul again. Now, unfortunately, we never learn from Scripture whether Paul had another encounter with King Agrippa, but we do know that King Agrippa heard the gospel, it convicted him, and he was almost persuaded to become a believer. We hope that later he did become a believer, but Scripture doesn't give us that positive affirmation that he did or not. So the letter P is prepare us to be thankful for the benefits that God is planning for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I love this verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So when you think about giving thanks in everything, Lord, I want to thank you for the blind spots that I have in my life, because sometimes the pressures in life reveal those blind spots in my heart. I want to also thank you, Lord, that you are here to help me. You know, when you go through times of pressure, it drives you to your knees. It gives you an opportunity to say, Lord, I need you. I need you now more than ever before. And this false accusation or this storm or this coronavirus has reminded me just how much I need you. Lord, I thank you that you're here to be my helper in my time of need. Although I would not want to go through this pain of being falsely accused, I thank you that you're with me every step of the way. Which leads to letter E in spelling out the word hope. Paul realized that God wanted to experience himself through Paul to be an impact to others. We ought to experience suffering. We ought to expect suffering. And suffering is just part of the normal Christian life. Now, I know that may blow your mind, right? Some of you may say, no, that can't be true. I thought we were to experience the abundant life, just a life of blessing and a life of ease and God just constantly blessing us. Now, we learn that none of us should suffer falsely as a murderer, but as being a follower of Christ, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. He actually uses the word in some translations, tribulation. But then he says, do not worry. I have overcome the world. So Jesus is not saying, I'm going to allow you to avoid all areas of tribulation, but he says, I'm going to be with you as you go through those times of tribulation. There is so much that we can learn from the Apostle Paul as we look at his reaction as he's giving this defense of the gospel. And I want to encourage you today to share the gospel today. And I know because of the coronavirus, we've got to look at a different way of sharing the gospel. And we can have the opportunity to share Christ through the internet, through Facebook. And I want to encourage all of you who are listening to me through Facebook Live, or all of you who are perhaps a friend of mine on Facebook Live, that you would share on your Facebook page our broadcast. We are on AM 1010, Monday through Friday, 4:30 to 5 o'clock p.m. If you could share that, that'd be a big blessing to get the word out as to what God is doing. We are doing this broadcast to encourage believers. That's why we call it Hope for Your Heart. I so hope that as we share the gospel, you are encouraged by the gospel. I also hope that as we share on this broadcast, that you'll be telling others what Christ has done for you. We have designed this broadcast with hope in mind, realizing that we are living in difficult times. And you know, I discovered if you lose your hope, you're in a world of trouble. If you lose your hope, you're not going to share the gospel. If you lose your hope, you're going to get all discouraged. You know, faith, hope, and love, these things remain. Of course, the greatest of these is love, but we also have hope. If we lose our hope, we will lose our capacity to love. So I want to challenge you today to be part of reaching out in hope to somebody and share what God is doing on this broadcast. Well, our time is just about over, and I want to again remind you that we're also on FM 100.1, mylighthouseradio.com. That's 4:30 to 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Love to have you join us. Also wanted to invite you to come and worship with us. We are back to live worship services. We're going to continue to be on Facebook Live, but we'd love to have you come and worship with us Sunday morning, 9 a.m. and 11 o'clock, beginning May 31st. We'll be worshiping together. Man, I'd love to see you come. I know we had a radio listener that came to the service last weekend. I'm really glad I had a chance to say hello to them from a distance. We did drive-in church last Sunday. But I would love to have you come and worship with us. And I promise you, we'll make you feel right at home. As a matter of fact, as you come into our parking lot, you're going to see a double glass doors and a big sign that says, Welcome Home. You see, that's our goal, is to make you feel right at home as you come to Hickory Ridge Community Church. I want you to feel like you're coming home, not like you're going to a public place of worship, but you're coming on home, and we'll make you feel welcome, and we will welcome you in the name of Christ. We'd love to have you come and worship with us. There are so many opportunities for you to connect and to grow in your faith through our small group ministries, through our prison ministry, through our men's and ladies' ministries, through our children's ministries. God is doing some really, really neat things through Hickory Ridge Community Church, so I love to have you come and join us as we worship together, and we worship in spirit and in truth. So again, we're on AM 1010, Monday through Friday, 4:30 to 5, FM 100.1, Monday through Friday, 4:30 to 5, and mylighthouseradio.com. Love to have you come and join us. Well, the theme today was how to share the gospel. Even in the midst of the storm, you can share the gospel. Jesus said this, we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good deeds and they may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. I so appreciate you listening today. And I see many of you are on the Facebook Live right now, and I appreciate you listening today. I'm going to pray and close out our broadcast today, and it's going to be a prayer of dedication that we as followers of Christ will use this opportunity to share the gospel wherever we go. So Lord, we come before you this day. We want to thank you that you are God and we are not. We want to thank you that you are in control. I pray for those who are listening today and maybe they're carrying a burden. Maybe they are so depressed and so filled with anxiety, they don't know how they're going to continue on. Lord, I pray that you fill them with your spirit. I pray that you allow them to see there is hope. There is a reason to live. There are so many opportunities to bless others. Lord, help them to look on beyond themselves and realize that they have a God that loves them. They have some people at Hickory Ridge Community Church that loves them and supports them and encourages them. Lord, you have blessed us so much. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for giving us a reason to live. We close our broadcast today praising the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.